time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
It sure is. He's the Mayor of Auckland, Phil Goff. He sits in City Hall atop the... Do you have some sort of throne? What's your, you just have a chair, eh?
Just an ordinary chair.
Good on you, Auckland.
Yeah.
Thanks, Auckland. Do you still rock the chains?
Do I still rock the chains? I wear them where I need to.
I bet they're a bother, to be honest.
They're awkward things to wear and pretty valuable, and I live in fear of doing a Tim Shadbolt and losing them. You know, never a good look.
Significant differences between yourself and Phil Shadbolt, though. We won't go into it now, but... Tim Shadbolt, sorry.
I had him in my office the other day.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, he was doing a program with Anika Moa, and he said, Phil, can I sit down in your chair? I said, yeah, help yourself, Tim. Hey, Phil, can I borrow your chains? Not on your bloody life.
He's a good guy, though. Good guy. Hey, all the mayors seem like favourable folk in this country. You've got, of course, your charge is the big city, the Auckland City, the City of Sails, the super city. Wide, as long as it is wide, as tall as it is high, and round and through. And apparently, we're going to have another stadium down on the waterfront there, and you're going to put those dolphins out there on the waterfront there. And Eden Park's rejected the offer to find a cheaper way of re-turfing its stadium.
All of those things. Yeah, we've got some big challenges ahead of us. So if we start with Eden Park...
Get rid of it then. Shut it down.
The problem with Eden
Shut
Park
Shut it down.
Is...
Get that new stadium going. What about that?
The problem with it is that it's losing money hand over foot. It can't afford to do its depreciation. I saw a fairly disingenuous comment from the trust board saying, oh, they haven't given us any money, it's only a guarantee over the loan. The person that made that comment knows full well we're going to have to pick up that $40 million loan.
That's
and absorb
ratepayers.
It.
That's ratepayers.
That's ratepayers.
Eden Park's
money.
$40 million loan.
And plus a $6.5 million loan on top of that, neither of which they can afford to repay. And before I get into, you know, giving them millions more here and millions more there, I want to know how the stadium is going to get through the period that we will continue to rely on Eden Park to be one of our key stadiums. We don't own the stadium. Everybody thinks the council owns the stadium. We don't own it.
Who does?
We don't appoint the board of directors to it. And
who does own the stadium?
It's owned by... by a trust,
yeah.
And makes payments to two organisations, which are Auckland Rugby and Auckland Cricket.
Right. Okay. So they own the stadium. And
they are the beneficiaries. Yeah. They're the beneficiaries of the stadium. But you know, look, maybe we've got to look at a way of trying to make Eden Park work until the city can afford an alternative.
Well, isn't that the card that they're trying to play on you though? They're trying to say, well, haha, what are you going to do otherwise? Sort of thing, you still want rugby games, you still want rugby matches, you still want cricket games.
Of course. And what I said to them is, hey, you guys had a very successful Lions tour last year, made a lot of money out of that. If the turf is your priority, why didn't you use that money for your turf?
Yeah.
We want the
Park
to keep
going.
Ratepayers
shouldn't be paying for it.
Well, the challenge that council will have at the end of the day is, do you want to see the stadium collapse and not physically, obvious, but financially and go under? And no, we don't want that. We want it as a facility that's used by Aucklanders, even if we don't own it. But we need to sit down and have a serious discussion with them about how they're going to go forward.
Any other parts of Auckland, any other sort of places around Auckland that have that same issue?
No, not really.
I don't mean money,
Eden Park is in a unique position. Yeah. And the problem with Eden Park, and it's not their fault, I guess, but they're right in the middle of a residential area. Means I went to see the rugby, bloody good game of rugby that where Auckland's back as the provincial champion. You're parking quite a long way from it. You can't use the ground as often as you'd need to. You know, for a stadium to work, we've got to have rugby use it, league use it, football use it, and concerts use it. And at the moment, at Eden Park, pretty much apart from the odd cricket game, it's just rugby. And, you know, next year's going to be with the World Rugby Cup. It's going to get hardly any features there. and it's just not going to have any income. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge to the people running Eden Park. And look, I'm not blaming them for that, and I want to work with them. But I'm just not going to take any nonsense about we're being tight-assed and we're not giving them a fair go, and we really aren't supporting them at all. $46.5 million of ratepayers' money invested in that stadium without us being the owners of it, that's a big chunk of money, and I would have expected that to be recognised.
Just on the stadium for a little bit longer, I can't remember if we talked about, I feel like we didn't talk about this, but I did talk about it on the radio, and if I did talk to you about it, sorry, I've forgotten, and we'll talk about it again.
no problem.
I think of a town like Melbourne, and that's a fine town. It lures visitors to Melbourne, but they don't have to have things. They don't have big ticket items like Sky Towers or a big fancy stadium or come and see this or come and see that. I kind of feel that Auckland should just rest on its. I mean, do we need big shiny baubles to attract people to come to Auckland, or is it because it's a pretty cool place regardless? It annoys me that people think of Auckland as a couple of iconic.
Yeah.
Symbols, really, as opposed to a town. I think it's more important we build it up as a town.
I think it's a whole lot more than that. You're quite right. And I don't know whether you saw, they ran it on The Nation on Saturday or Sunday, but our new plan, master plan for the centre city, and we're going to see some fantastic things happen in Auckland. What I like about Auckland is, we've got a beautiful environment, but we don't always do justice to that environment in terms of the, what we do with the built environment. But we're looking at changing Queen Street to be pedestrianised, so it's not just a throughway for traffic, but it's a place where people want to go, gather, pause, talk, enjoy. We're going to try and turn High Street, we've got to do consultation on it first, but High Street and Federal Street also into pedestrianised areas.
Yeah.
Victoria
Pretty
Street.
Pretty much are anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, well,
maybe not fair. No. Yeah,
if you go through High Street, and the parked cars take as much room as the footpaths. People are jammed onto the footpaths. You can barely get through the thing. Yeah, we've got the wonderful Freiburg Square up there. That's a great place to gather, and where
and
people
course,
love
the
to
lovely
have their
Alan
lunch.
Melville Centre.
Yeah. Victoria Street, we're going to do a linear park down Victoria Street, right from Victoria Park right up to Albert Park. So we've got a greenway across the city, and again, a place where people want to gather and sit and enjoy themselves. Key Street's going to change, going to become, again, more pedestrianised outside the old post office. A new park down on the waterfront, a waterfront park, which will be really attractive. And then you go over to the Waterloo Quadrant, and you see those hazardous substance tanks being demolished at the moment in the south of the of Wynyard Point in preparation for the America's Cup. And, you can see that we're starting to turn our city around.
So in 2058, when it's all finished?
Yeah. I reckon it's going to look really good. It takes a bit of time, but we've got a plan for the next 10 years that will absolutely change the whole nature of the city. Plus, of course, the private sector's putting in, billions of dollars in new investment. One of the things that people don't think about, Queen Street, when I was a kid, nobody lived near the centre of the city. We've got 57,000 people living there now. Wow. We've got 117,000 people coming into the centre of the city each day to work there. We've got tens of thousands of international students and students coming in to study here. We get the cruise ships in. All told, the centre of the city generates 20% of the gross domestic product of Auckland and 7% of the entire country.
Sure, so, timbers.
Yeah, this is a little gold mine here, and it's not the only area in Auckland. We've got to develop the town centres and make them better as well, but it is part of the heart of a city that generates a hell of a lot of income for all of us, so we've got to make it as good as it can. And that new master plan we issued at the end of last week, getting really good feedback. People are really excited about the prospect of it.
Are you still going to develop the Albert Park tunnels?
Yeah, that's part of the scheme. The private sector is the one that's driving that, but we're trying to be cooperative to it. Just imagine the tunnels have been filled in after they were dug out during the war, but it'll be easy to remove the spoil. You could have a walk and cycle way that would take you from the top of Victoria Street right through down to Beach Road, and that would be
is that on track for happening?
It's a work in progress, and you know it's being funded by the private sector, but we are trying to be encouraging of it. They've got plans for wine cellars for cheese caves.
I'm not sure whether the cheese caves are going to be the big money spinner there, but yeah.
I talked to actually the guy that runs Waitomo Glowworm Caves too. Came up to see me and talked to me about it, and they're keen to do the same thing in the tunnels so that we'd have our own Waitomo Cave here, at, right in the heart of the city. Yeah. So you know it would be attractive, I think, to Aucklanders and to tourists to the city. So, you know, I hope we can really progress that. I think it's quite an exciting idea.
Carrie Dieback, very quickly.
Yeah, well, you know, we've increased the amount of money to stop Kauri Dieback expanding from $3 million over 10 years to $100 million. And I was listening on the radio, and there were people doing a big
$100 million
grizzle. We hadn't moved far enough. Well, the budget only went through in July. Yeah. We've put our money where our mouth is, and yeah, we've got a lot of work to do. But don't just sit back and grizzle. You know, yes, sure, there are people that still want to use the tracks without cleaning their shoes or without properly being on the tracks, and we're ramping up the protections that we've got there. But it won't be done overnight. But yes, the money we've invested shows how serious we are about it.
That's what I want to ask you: is when do you start to know whether the response, the sort of response from the council and from New Zealanders and from the people that are using all that area and now not using the area, when do you find out whether it's actually working?
Well,
have you already found it?
No, we're monitoring it on an ongoing basis. We were doing 5 yearly reports, and the last 5 yearly report showed that in just 5 years, the area of trees affected in Waitakere increased from 9% of the trees to 18%. That was a massive wake-up call. I don't know that we can afford to wait another 5 years
before we do
the survey again. I think we've got a survey on an ongoing basis. But unlike myrtle rust, which is spread through...
Myrtle rust! Oh, I forgot that filthy myrtle.
There's problems everywhere we look. This is spread by people with mud on their boots, and we can do something about that. But we need, you know, you don't have a massive police force guarding the thousands of hectares of bush that we've got. We've got to rely on people being educated, informed and responsible and doing the right thing. So when we reopen some of the tracks, it will be with, you know, with proper cleaning stations. And, you know, I've watched people on the existing cleaning stations walk straight through them without worrying about it, and you think, what the hell's the matter with you? You're going there because you enjoy the environment,
but you're not
prepared to protect it. So we need that level of responsibility from all of the people that visit, and, you know, council's got its own responsibilities in informing people and making it hard not to do the right thing, and that's what we're trying to do.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Okay, good to
talk to you. See you next week. Cheers, bye-bye.
Okay, catch you later. Cheers.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goth.